everyone. This is the Fanatic at 5. I am Jamie Lynch. In with me again, you've grown to love and know him this week, Tyler Zuli. Happy Thursday in the official slowest week of the sports year.
It is Thursday, right?
Yes.
Just checking.
I got my day right this week.
Okay, just making sure.
Not Monday. I don't want to put that fear of God in anyone again. I apologize still yesterday. I'm not over it. I had a hard time sleeping last night introducing Wednesday as Monday. But yes, it is Thursday morning. Coming up today on the morning show is the Meat Locker with Anthony, Bob, Baldy. I think Coach Steve Spagnuolo is going to be in. And I think there's a big football itch in the air. Finally, we're less than a week away from camp. A couple NFL pieces of news that we'll get to a little bit coming up. But the trade officially goes through. I was driving home yesterday, and Steve Phillips, the former GM of the Mets, who now works for SiriusXM, had a tweet saying, you know, there may be a hang-up here. The Dodgers, apparently the Orioles are notorious for hang-ups in medicals and all of that. So Steve Phillips said, you know, not so fast yet. There's something in one of the you know, the medical reports that they didn't like. You know, some people started joking that Diaz had a hangnail when he was six that the Orioles were still concerned about. So I had a little bit of hope that maybe the deal fell apart, but alas, it did not. It officially goes through. The Dodgers give up 5 prospects in exchange for Manny Machado, who I would think makes them, I'll have to look up the odds, but I would have to think makes them, if not the favorite in the NL, probably right there with maybe the Cubs. But you know a little bit more about these prospects. Apparently, there was only one in the top 100 prospects in the league. But according to a couple scouts, some people think the Orioles made out pretty well. Why don't you fill us in on what the Dodgers actually gave up here, Tyler?
Yeah, so the big name was Yusnel Diaz, and he was the number 4 prospect for the Dodgers. He'll now become the number 2 prospect for the Orioles. So the Orioles organization needed that depth anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
He's kind of the guy. He was signed for $30 million out of the Dominican. But he's really the guy in the deal. And then they've got 4 other guys. And I'll read this from Jeff Passan here as to what these guys are. He says, Diaz is the only top 100 type. And it's true. He's ranked 84th. In the MILB top 100, yeah. None of the other guys are ranked in the top 100.
I was going to say, Adonis Medina is even higher than him,
yes,
right?
Yes, Medina is, as is Sanchez. But so what the Orioles are getting back in their rankings now are their number 2, number 13, 17, and 29 prospect. And this, again, comes from Passan. He says, Diaz is the only top 100 player. Kramer could be a dude. Bannon, undersized third baseman who's crushing it in the Cal League. Pop is a reliever. Valera, a 26-year-old in AAA.
So the last guy sounds like a throw-in.
It's kind of a throw-in in the deal.
But you always like a guy that can be a dude.
That I don't know what the dude means, but I'll take it.
So it begs the question, you know, is it too much? It's a 2-month rental. Will the Dodgers end up keeping him? I still have that fear of the L.A. limelight out there keeping him. I just felt like if you got him in, you have a much better chance of keeping him. You know, look, if the Phillies gave up a package similar to that with Medina, swap out, you know, Diaz and Medina, I'm probably okay with it.
Yeah, I think so. Because let's kind of put it into perspective. Medina's the top, and then based on what they have and what they've offered, you're looking at, like, Alec Baum. I know he was just drafted not too long ago, but comparatively, Alec Baum, maybe a guy, take a look at, like, the relievers. You know, that's a throw-in deal. They didn't give up a whole lot. It would have been like maybe giving up Archimedes Gamboa, who I know they're high on. But the good thing about this whole deal is the fact that the Dodgers didn't have to give up their top catching prospect. And they're the most valuable of them all.
The catcher?
The catching prospect, yeah. Not just in the Dodgers system, but in general.
Are they really considered that
valuable? Oh, absolutely.
So according to Sam, who's behind the glass today, he says the Bovada odds now for the Dodgers are plus 300 to win the NL. And they are, in fact, the favorites. They're plus 650 now to win the World Series, which is 4th overall. You would assume Yankees, Red Sox, Astros are probably the top 3. So, you know, they pushed in. I can't sit here and say I'm not jealous. I understand it. I'm not like, yesterday I was just a little down about it. today it's like, all right, you better get him in the offseason because, you know, he's a franchise-changing type of player. We'll see. It feels like, here's the thing with prospects, and I know Anthony's kind of anti-me because he believes a lot of the Astros and teams like that, you know, grow and form championship runs off of prospects. But we're talking five prospects. One of them's already a 26-year-old reliever. So, I mean, let's call it four prospects, essentially, because the 26-year-old reliever, look, he's probably got a shot for a cup of coffee at best. Of those four, what, two maybe make the majors?
Yeah, if you're banking on half, and half's a lot even to bank on a prospect.
I was going to say probably more like one of those four.
One of four is a productive major leaguer.
Yeah, and the chances of that person being an all-star or a major contributor to a team is even slimmer than that.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, you mentioned the Astros, and you take a look at the 2012 Astros prospect list, because that's kind of when they started that turnover. Jonathan Singleton has had issues staying on the field. George Springer's been productive, obviously. Jared Cozart is a major leaguer, but not for them. Jonathan Villar is a major leaguer, not for them. Paul Clemens, same deal. Mike Foltynewicz, same deal. Domingo Santana, same deal. So they flipped these guys for their major league ready prospects and for major league talent. So the Astros did a really good job. So I think they're kind of the anomaly in the fact that they were able to build young talent and at the same time flip young talent to other teams like Foltynewicz to the Braves and bring in those current MLB players to build their current roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to think about prospects and having, you know, the top 10 lists of teams are ever evolving. You know, it changes all the time. So, you know, if you're afraid of giving up your number two prospect, guess what? You have a new number two prospect right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody just slides up one.
The chances of these people making it are so slim. To me, it was worth it. But whatever, we move on. That's behind us now. Here is Dodgers GM Farhan Zaidi. I hope I got that right. Zaidi, maybe. He talked about the trade picking up steam over the last week.
Really, over the past week, it seemed like the Orioles were intent on making something happen over the All-Star break. We kind of stepped up and, you know, made sure that our offer was competitive, not just competitive relative to other teams, but, you know, was something that would get them to act sooner rather than waiting around until July 31st.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he went for it. He pushed in. So that's what that is. And, you know, unfortunately, the Phillies now have to battle for their own division. It's not going to be easy. Hopefully the Nationals don't wake up. I think the Braves are going to have a tough time with the next, like, 3 or 4 weeks of their schedule. So we'll see. Hopefully, the Phillies get back on track tomorrow. And then the Dodgers come to town and talk about not having to wait long to see Manny Machado. You have three games, and then Manny Machado and Chase Utley are coming to our backyard, and we have to watch that. And I'm telling you, if Machado puts on a show, there's going to be a slight depression that waves over me.
And as Doug Peterson once famously said, he's going to lose his frickin' mind.
Yeah, I believe it's...
Before I lose my frickin' mind, we better figure this out!
Yeah,
that's what CBP will be like.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool with the Utley stuff, but I'm telling you, man, if Machado drops like three bombs and one hits Harry the K's on the second level, I'm probably just going to turn around and walk out of the stadium. And that's the other issue with this is not only the competitive factor, Manny Machado puts butts in those seats for the next 2 months in a big way. Like, that place becomes energetic, loud, and, you know, I hope it still does. You know, obviously we're all still supporting the team and watching every night, but, you know, I'm not going to lie.
Here's the thing, though. Go back to 2008 when they won the World Series. That sellout streak didn't really start until midway through 2008. So they weren't selling until the team really showed that they were getting good.
Yeah.
But Machado fast-tracks that by 5,000 to 10,000 fans right away.
I just got distracted real briefly. Do you know who the woman was presenting with T.O. last night at the ESPYs? We just saw her on TV.
No, I know Danica Patrick hosted.
Woo! My Lord. Soccer player. She's a soccer player? She was stunning.
Was that Allie Raisman?
No.
Morgan? Oh, it's no, that wasn't Alex Morgan?
I don't think so, Bob. I think you're feeding me fake news. Sorry, I just got, I caught her out of the side of my eye and she was stunning. Anyway, Kawhi Leonard is now officially a Toronto Raptor. DeMar DeRozan is now officially a Spur. It's a weird, weird trade. Neither player appears to be happy. And part of me thinks Popovich was just being spiteful. You know, here's, I'm going to play a cut for you here where Popovich wishes Kawhi the best. And I got to be honest, I don't believe him. Here's Pop.
You know, we hope that this will be a good situation for everybody involved. Kawhi obviously worked very hard to become the player he is. Our staff worked very hard to help him get there. We wish him all the best as he moves on to Toronto.
I don't believe you, Pop. Wish you the best. They sent him to another country. This guy wants to go to L.A. They sent him to Toronto.
Pop would have sent him to Siberia if he could have.
Hey, Kawhi, enjoy freezing your ass off in Toronto in December.
L.A.? Nah, another country.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. You know, we talked about yesterday. I think this is probably the best overall package the Spurs could have hoped for. You know, they can still remain on the back end of the playoff hunt a little bit with Aldridge, DeRozan, and some of the other guys they have there. We'll see. I have a sneaky suspicion that the Raptors are blowing it up and could flip Kawhi by trade deadline. Like, I could see them trading him around.
You think he does end up in L.A.?
We'll see. But then again, what are you going to pay for, if you're not L.A., what's somebody going to pay for a two-month rental of Kawhi?
Well, and that's the thing. So if they trade him somewhere else other than L.A., and then he does go to L.A., whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers, Kawhi Leonard's going to be on four teams in the matter of 12 months.
Yeah, and usually Hall of Fame-type players don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's weird. I think he's very weird. I think coming out and basically from his camp releasing that he's not happy about it. Like, dude, you don't have, outside of your skills, which is, you know, a lot, you don't have a lot of hand here. Just shut up and play, basically. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you're going to be a free agent in 1 year. Just go play it out with the Raptors and Lowry and what they have up there, like with Valchunas and all them. You can compete for the East.
You absolutely could come out of the East.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you play well, your stock goes up.
Yeah.
If you don't play, your stock goes down.
I don't know who he's taking advice from, but they should probably stop giving it to him. Was it Uncle Ben?
Ben or Rob or whatever it is.
Well, Uncle Ben should probably trap down because I don't understand his thinking at all. So that's the latest on the Kawhi situation. Greg Popovich also talked about DeMar DeRozan and the values he brings to the Spurs and how they're able to not skip a beat with DeMar down in San Antonio.
You know, the values stay the same. What we think makes the program tick and be consistent stays the same. It has nothing to do with the number of years. You know, I think we've sustained pretty good level of excellence for a very long time, more than most. And hopefully that'll continue. And I'm confident it will with someone like DeMar and a young player like Jakob that can develop.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, DeMar DeRozan, a lot of people, you know, we threw out the possibility of, you know, would the Sixers have interest yesterday? I, for one, wouldn't. He's kind of that volume scorer that's not really a great shot from the outside. You know, limited defense. I'm sure Popovich will get the best out of him, but it'll be interesting to watch him down there in San Antonio this year, for sure. You think they make the playoffs right now, if you're just shooting from the hip here?
The West is tough, but I think based on what they have left, probably do still. 6, 7, 8 seed. They're not the Spurs of old, obviously, but I think they're good enough to be a 6 or a 7.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Cousins talked yesterday, and he apparently is none too happy about people, you know, the haters, as Markelle Fultz would call them, you know, talking about him joining the Warriors. And Boogie did what Boogie does, and he drops a couple curses in his statement talking about the haters and him signing in Golden State.
Early this morning through last night, I was f***ed up. I was f***ed up. I've been up for 2 days straight, honestly. I've been up for 2 days straight. We reached out to teams, the Pelicans. There was no offer. I understand. They're big year and you don't want to ruin it, taking a chance on a damaged player. Cool. You know, we reached out to some other teams. We got answers like, we don't believe it's a good fit, or we got to see what we're doing with our roster right now. Like, just kind of just bull answers. And then it was some just flat out like, we can't take that risk.
I kind of like Boogie. yeah, that's Boogie. That's exactly what you expected from him. But I don't know. You know, he does have an Achilles injury. He is coming off of it. You know, he got 1 year, $5 million, which is basically what we offered. What's your boy that just ditched us for Europe again?
Nemanja Bjelica.
Yeah. So, you know, Boogie got $1 million more than, say it again?
Nemanja Bjelica.
That's good work by you.
It's ingrained in my head at this point.
Yeah.
That guy is going to haunt me in my sleep.
So, speaking of him, it's kind of a weird story. So, he tells the Sixers, you know, he verbally agrees to a contract. I guess, so what was that, 2-3 weeks ago? Apparently, is in Europe, had a visa issue, didn't come back over to sign the deal right away. Looks like he's still good. Comes out the other day. Nah, he's not going to sign with the Sixers. He's going to stay in Europe. It looks like he had a long-term, you know, offer over there. Then it comes out yesterday that he may, in fact, be staying in the NBA and signing with the Kings. So it appears your boy, Frank Gordas.
I don't get, listen, if you want to stay in Europe, that you're from there, that's fine. Go home, go play closer to home with your family. I get it. But to not sign here and to then go sign with Sacramento?
I know, the Kings?
Why?
I don't know. Maybe him and Vlade are from the same country? Yeah, it's a great question, Joe Cordell. I don't know. That's a weird one. He was kind of your Ilyasova replacement, so now the Sixers have that $4.5 million mid-level exception available. It'll be interesting to see who they fill it with. There's, you know, the Jamal Crawford rumors out there don't appear to be going anywhere. So maybe they kick the tires on a guy like that that can just bring in some scoring off the bench. We'll see. But yeah, your boy one more time,
Nemanja Bjelica.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. By the way, they are both Serbian.
Okay, I was going to say maybe the
Vlade is Serbian as well, so maybe there's a connection there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't look past that. Sure, I mean, Vlade's got to be he's the Michael Jordan of Serbia, right? He's got
to
be.
Close to it. I don't know anybody else.
Yeah. So maybe that helped signing up. Last night was the ESPYs, Tyler. Did you watch?
I did not.
I did not either.
I can't say I did.
Yeah, I did not either. I saw a lot of the Eagles were there via their Instagrams. You know, a lot of guys were... I think, like, I want to say half the team was there. I know for sure, you know, McLeod, Jenkins, Jalen Mills, Brandon Graham, Zach Ertz, Nick Foles. I didn't see Chris Long was there.
They're milking this thing for everything it's worth.
So apparently they did not win Play of the Year, which the Philly Special was up for. They did not win the Play of the Year. That went to the Notre Dame Championship game.
Enrique Ogunbowale.
That's incredible work by you.
Well, she is the brother of Dare Ogunbowale, who used to be a running back at Wisconsin.
Huh.
Now he's kind of fighting his way through the NFL.
So the last name was already in the back of your mind.
Yes, exactly. He was the one. He's kind of the reason that Corey Clement did not get drafted, because they split time together.
Gotcha.
And he was the quote-unquote pass catcher.
Yeah, that they probably threw to, what?
Eight
times all year. Yeah, so they did not win Play of the Year, but they did have a winner. Nick Foles won Best Championship Performance. How about that? Looks like I don't even know who he beat out. I literally had no interest in the ESPYs. It is kind of cool to see that many athletes together having a good time, but ultimately don't really care. Here's some of the awards real quick. Best Breakthrough Athlete, not Ben Simmons. It was Donovan Mitchell. I mean, I guess coming from, you know, a late pick to as good as he was, I guess that is worthy of him winning the breakthrough. Apparently, Danica Patrick, who hosted it, made a Ben Simmons Kardashian joke in her opening monologue. I have heard from sources...
That opening monologue was brutal.
Really?
Brutal to sit through.
Well, it's kind of a weird... I mean, Danica Patrick as the host? Is she still racing, or is she just...
I thought she retired. Or she's doing, like, sporadic racing.
Okay.
She's not a full-time driver anymore.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, maybe she's just trying to transition into the TV world of things, but dating Aaron Rodgers, hosting the ESPYs, well, you know. Who cares? Best college athlete goes to Baker Mayfield. Best female athlete goes to Olympic gold medal winning snowboarder Chloe Kim. Best male athlete, and he's got a drop here at the station, goes to Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah!
Hard to argue, I guess, after that one and his Bender championship
performance. I was going to say, I'm curious if he's sober yet.
Yeah, probably not. Best team goes to the Houston Astros. Best game, the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team shootout victory over Canada.
Was a good game.
Yeah, it was. Best championship performance? Oh, yeah, that's Nick Foles.
What was By that? The way, What's he the, beat out.
Let's get it going. Let's go.
He beat out Golden State's Kevin Durant, Houston Astros' George Springer. Another Philly guy, too, was in there. Villanova's Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, you know, Eitan and Rob were doing something the other day. Rob Motti was saying that Bryce Harper's home run performance was the best individual feat he saw of 20. Yeah, and I was like, minus Nick Foles. They had Nick Foles out of the discussion. I was like, Dante DiVincenzo. So, great performance by him. It skyrocketed him up to, what was he, pick 16, I think?
Milwaukee.
Yeah, something around 16. So, a lot of that had to do with the championship game performance. Best moment. This Minnesota Vikings miracle win to Stephon Diggs. It was an incredible play. But best moment, I guess.
I might actually argue for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty remarkable.
I remember I was sitting in there. We were waiting to go on. And we're like, oh, this game's over. The Saints are coming to Philly. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that game was over. And who knows? Maybe Stephon Diggs, in a weird way, got us the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, who knows if that Saints game... Chances are, because I watched it again last night, chances are they do, you know, work them. But...
It's not 38-7, I know.
No.
That.
So last night I went and met up with my old roommate, his wife, and their new daughter, and we went to wiener dog races in Manayunk at Pretzel Park, which was funny. But afterwards we grabbed a quick bite at a bar right down the street, and we come in and they have the NFC Championship game on NFL Network with the full sound blaring. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was at the game, so I haven't rewatched that one. I've only rewatched the Super Bowl. It was awesome. Like, Addie was, my wife was just like, look at you. You're so happy right now. And I was like
a kid on Christmas.
Yeah, I really was. And I was like, oh, LeGarrette Blount's about to run over a guy. Oh, strip sack's coming. Oh, Torrey Smith. Oh.
What was the feeling like in the stadium after that opening drive? Because the Vikings walked right down the field and scored.
Tense. I was real tense. That's why the Patrick Robinson play was
huge.
It was as special as it was because it was kind of like, oh,
there's the turnaround.
They got this. And like, they just snatched the momentum back, and then it was game over. And that Patrick Robinson pick six, I'll never forget it. I went deaf. I think the whole stadium went deaf. It was probably the loudest play I'll ever experience live. Like, people were just jumping into each other and checking each other and punching each other and just screaming their faces off. I jumped into a vat of crab fries. I had cheese all over my boot. It was fun to watch that again on TV last night. We'll recap some of the other, ESPY awards. Mike Trout and the commissioner, Rob Manfred, are in a little weird thing together. Darrelle Revis retires from the NFL. He's certainly an all-time great. But you're listening to The Fanatic at 5. He's Tyler Zuli. I am Jamie Lynch. And don't forget, the 5 a.m. hour is brought to you by Car Gurus. Go to cargurus.com today to find great deals from your top-rated dealers near you. That's CARGURUS.com. This is The Fanatic at 5. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Jamie Lynch. Fanatic Sports Times 523.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI. Because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 67cash.com, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
Paint like a pro, even if you're not one. Start with Lowe's for the leading paint and stain brands professional painters rely on day in and day out, like Purdy brushes and rollers for a smooth, even finish, and Cabot stains for long-lasting, durable coverage. Need a couple tricks of the trade? Talk to our helpful associates at the paint desk. They can offer advice on anything from choosing the right roller nap to taping techniques, so your project goes smoothly from start to pro-level finish. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
Hi, this is Armin from Armin Chevrolet and Armin Cadillac, proudly sponsoring the British Open coverage on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shop 24/7 at ShopArmin.com. That's ShopArmin.com. Closer than you think.
The sports talk continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Subway Restaurants, 350 6-inch sub of the day is classic tuna on freshly baked bread. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
Back to school economics from Staples. Today's lesson, get more, spend less. Staples has the top brands for back to school at low prices. So you get everything on your list without spending everything in your wallet. Economics made simple. And now, Staples One subject notebooks are just 25 cents. Two pocket poly folders are 35 cents. Plus 24-pack Crayola crayons are just 50 cents. Get an A in back to school today at your local Staples. The back to school specialty store.
While supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18. Install only, limit 30.
Two of the most popular rooms in the house now have an event to match. The Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, now at the Home Depot, where you'll find a contemporary Glacier Bay Dorset Bath Faucet at a new lower price of just $39. High Arc, chrome finish, it's the perfect finishing touch to that bath update. And at this price, even easier to get your hands on. Save at the Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th while supplies last.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin booty smile. I got a Charmin booty smile. My ultra-star. I got a Charmin booty smile. By the near to ear, the CP's magnifique. Charmin ultra-soft, so cozy. I'm grinning cheek to cheek. Charmin booty smile.
I got Charmin ultra-soft is softer than ever. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
I used to leave voicemails for myself because the only one I could trust to get something done right was me.
Hey, you, it's me. Remember to order safety goggles and grab some milk on your way home.
But now I use Grainger. Grainger's got the technical support you'd expect from America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. They're in the business of helping my business, so no more talking to myself. Now I talk to Grainger because when it comes to keeping your business running, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Fanatic Philly Sports Talk. Now 1 hour earlier with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch. The Fanatic at 5. Weekday mornings at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. This is the Fanatic at 5. I am Jamie Lynch, and with me is Tyler Zuli as we recap the latest news and... not a ton of news out there outside of the big stories, which are the Manny Machado deal, which becomes official. The Dodgers send five prospects. When you're 26 in AAA as a relief pitcher, are you still a prospect? I know you're
very fringe. You're very fringe.
Like, can we drop the term prospect from this kid? So I would say four prospects.
They're just professionals at that point. Because yeah. They're getting paid to play, so they're professionals.
Yeah, and I mean, if he was real, he'd be up.
You would think so. Unless they are so high on their bullpen right now That they just stay like that?
Yeah. You can tell Anthony's here as he gives us rib shots on the walk by. But yes, five prospects. Diaz being the only one in the top 100 prospects in minor league baseball that goes to them. But you had a little piece from Jeff. Is it Passan or Passan?
Passan.
It is Passan?
It is Passan.
I always want to say Passan. But he believes, according to some scouts he talked to, the Orioles actually got a good haul.
Yeah, so they like Diaz. Some see him as a future star. Others say the Dodgers kind of sold high. But I think he's probably the can't miss out of this. There's a lot of praise for Zach Pop, who's a reliever in single A. And then here you go. Passan says, one veteran scout says, don't worry about Rylan Bannon's height. He's a really short third baseman, but apparently he's got a legitimate bat. Here's the one thing that I really took out of this. Zach Pop, 7th-round pick. Rylan Bannon, 8th-round pick. Dean Kramer, 14th-round pick. And Breivik Valera was acquired for a guy that won't make the big leagues, according to a couple of scouts.
Yeah, so, you know,
the Dodgers are doing well in the late rounds.
Yeah, clearly, and their pipeline is something ridiculous when you look at their major league roster, and then you know it's almost like this Diaz kid doesn't really have that many places to go within their own team, so you can justify it that way.
And they didn't have to give up Kybert Ruiz, who was their top catching prospect.
Yeah, and I'm really starting to hate Magic Johnson. I'll just say that.
Just a thorn in our side.
Yeah, I mean, really. And now we have to watch Manny Machado come to town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. He's probably going to hit 6 home runs. He's probably going to hit one over Harry the K's in left field, and it's probably going to hit a house down in Packer Park somewhere, and hopefully it doesn't break their front window. But it's going to be painful for me to watch him. I'm not going to lie to you. The other piece of news is the Kawhi and DeMar DeRozan trade is official, and neither appear happy. You have a quote from DeMar DeRozan here. He does not seem happy. I'm sure they'll get over it. Kawhi does not seem happy. But why don't you hit us with that DeRozan quote?
Yeah, so back in 2017, right in the summer of 2017, he told The Undefeated when they asked him if he envisioned playing with the Raptors his entire career. He said, that's just how I've always been. Once I become close or attached to something, it's always been my responsibility that no matter how bad something gets or how great something gets, don't leave it astray. You've got to be willing to go through the good and the bad and the bad and the good. That's been my approach through everything, my friends and my family as well.
Yikes.
Too happy.
But I think he'll get over it, right? I mean, he's going to San Antonio, the gold standard of the NBA. And, you know, he's got Popovich, who he's familiar with through Team USA. You know, he'll be fine. He'll get over it. But, yeah, right as of right now, neither are happy. Whatever.
He kind of went on to say, I am Toronto. Outside of where I'm from, I represent the city harder than anybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, him and Lowry really embraced that, like, we are the North thing, and they were, you know, very important for that team and franchise. It's weird. And last night was the ESPYs. It's the slowest week in sports. And the ESPYs, you know, are the sign of that. And clearly no professional sports are in action. The ESPYs last night. And the Eagles were well represented. A lot of the team was there. Nick Foles comes away with the best championship performance, which, you know, obviously it's well deserved. He outdueled Tom Brady as a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl. It's something, you know, movies are made of. So that was cool to see. But the Philly special lost out on best play of the year to the Notre Dame women's buzzer beater to beat UConn in the finals. So, I mean, I'm not going to cry any tears for an ESPY award. But
here's the thing, too. The Philly special was a terrific play inside the game. Agumba Wally's game winner.
You
win the national championship, and B, knock off UConn, who hadn't lost that year.
Yeah.
That's why she won it.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. Dante DiVincenzo and Nick Foles were two of the, I think, four finalists for the best championship game performance. So Philadelphia was very well represented that way. Eagles camp is set to kick off, I believe, next Wednesday. So we're very close. I would think this is the last of their banquet tours. As Super Bowl champions, and you know, majority of the team was there last night. I would assume Carson Wentz wasn't. I didn't see him in any of the social postings from the team or players. He's probably enjoying his honeymoon before the camp gets underway.
His honeymoon with Mike Trout, that is.
Yeah, hunting, you know, deer in Millville, New Jersey. And the other piece of Sixers news out there yesterday was your boy. I'm not even going to attempt to say it. Go ahead.
Bielitsa.
Bielitsa.
You got to say it with that little flair, too.
Bielitsa allegedly told the Sixers he was staying in Europe for a multi-year deal, a little more job security for his family. Turns out, maybe not. He may be looking to go to Sacramento now after Frank Goring, the Sixers. And I wish him all the worst in Sacramento.
Yes, I too actually want to go live in Sacramento.
But like we said, you know, Vlade is Serbian. He's Serbian.
There's got to be a connection
there. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peja Stojaković, Anthony says, is right there with Vlade as the most famous, the Michael Jordans of Serbia. So who knows? Maybe there was a little connection there between Vlade and himself. But, you know, not the best look for the Sixers. And it's probably no fault of their own because the guy was in Europe. But can't you get contracts digitally signed these days?
You can e-sign. DocuSign.
Yeah. I mean, my mortgage was done on DocuSign. So, like, why was the contract not signed? It's not the best look. It's obviously not devastating because he's a backup. You know, but he had a little bit of potential. He can shoot a little bit. He was going to fill in that Ilyasova role. So now the Sixers have about $4.5 million on that mid-level exception that becomes available. So it'll be interesting to see who they get with that. But yeah, not the best look in the world when he says, nah, I'm good. And then, you know, 2 days later goes to an inept franchise in Southern California.
Yeah. Now one of the hot Twitter handles in Philly's been Jay Crossover for Jamal Crawford. That's kind of the name that everybody wants now.
I mean, he certainly brings you scoring. I think he's probably, what, 44 years old?
Yeah, he's like 106, I think.
But if you're looking just strictly for second unit scoring, I mean, I guess. You know, I don't know who else at this point is left. But, you know, you still need that second unit scoring, so we'll see. Boogie Cousins responded to the haters yesterday. This is a great piece of audio, and I do like Boogie. Cause he's Boogie and he let you know, he doesn't really care what everybody has to say. He's just kind of over it and he didn't have any offers out there.
Early this morning through last night, I was f***ed up. I was f***ed up. I've been up for 2 days straight, honestly. I've been up for 2 days straight. We reached out to teams, the Pelicans. There was no offer. I understand. They're big year and you don't want to ruin it, taking a chance on a damaged player. Cool. You know, we reached out to some other teams. We got answers like, we don't believe it's a good fit, or we got to see what we're doing with our roster right now. Like, just kind of just bull answers. And then there was some just flat out like, we can't take that risk.
I mean, it's a great way of saying it, Boogie.
The man speaks his mind.
Yeah, he certainly does. Just got a tweet from Provolone Joe, who's a frequent caller of the morning show. He says, the disappointment of not getting a big name signing in free agency in the NBA and Major League Baseball for Philly is another reason in this town why football is a first in this city. At least the Eagles are bold and make big moves in an attempt to go for gold instead of settling for bronze. So it doesn't sound like Provolone Joe's too happy about missing out on Machado. But yeah, he's going to be here in all his glory this weekend as a reminder. And Chase Utley will be with him. It'll be cool to say farewell to Chase. He was surfing yesterday on the, like wakeboard surfing off the back of a boat. So I think Chase is already half in retirement. So I think half the reason he announced the early retirement was so that Philadelphia could say goodbye.
Give him a proper send off.
Yeah, and I know you are kind of a little anti the.
I'm for it. In the first sense and the last sense, but in between, he's an opponent.
Yeah, yeah. I think first at bat, you give him the standing O, and then if he does anything else, you kind of give him that Bronx cheer boo if he hurts the Phillies. But that'll be, you know, it's a 3-game series against the Dodgers. We'll kind of see what this team's made of at home, you know, with a hot team coming in. I think they won like 27 of their last 40 before the All-Star break. You know, they're a pretty loaded team, and they just got more loaded. So we'll see. They are now the favorites to win the NL. According to Bovada, they are plus 300 to win the NL, and they are plus 650 to win the World Series. The Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros are ahead of them to win the World Series. So, you know, it's going to be a fun second half, and we'll see how the Phillies fare. If you had to guess right now, do you think they win the division?
I think everybody beats up on each other a little bit. I would say as of right now, yes, I would think that they win the division. And it's the difference between a one-game playoff appearance and at least three. Because
you
have to throw Nola in that wild card game and go to Arrieta in game one. You're okay. But after that, it's tough sledding.
Yeah, and Arrieta is the key to the second half. I mean, the guy's getting paid $30 million. He had a horrible June, a great May. He battled in July. So now it's, you know, no more excuses. Let's go. You got paid the big bucks. Let's lock it. Because if he gives you a lockdown second half like he did last year,
you've got two true legitimate stars.
Yeah, and then you hope Eflin can keep it up in the second half. And if that's the case, I mean, yeah, I think they do have a good shot to win the division. We'll see. The Nationals still, you know, have a chance to get hot. He's Tyler Zuli. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're listening to The Fanatic at 5. Coming up at 6 o'clock is Anthony and Bob, and I believe Baldy and Vi, and Coach Steve Spagnuolo will all be joining us today in studio. And I believe there's a football itch in the air, and hopefully we'll try and scratch that today. Thanks for listening to The Fanatic at 5. We'll be back in a minute. Fanatic Sports Times, 5:41.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Things are about to change around here.
Catch up on the Philly sports you missed the night before. And what's coming up later in the day? The Fanatic at 5 with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch. This is new. Weekday mornings at 5, live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And we're back. sometimes the live radio is fun, and I think we had a little system screw up in there. No fault of Sam's, but we are back, and you're still listening to The Fanatic at 5. He's Tyler Zuli. We have Anthony Gargano and Bob Cooney in studio with us. They'll be coming up here shortly with the morning show. But yeah, we were just talking about the football itch, and we're, you know, camp is here on Wednesday already, and it does seem earlier, like the sports calendar by the Eagles winning the Super Bowl this year has kind of been just thrown off. Like, I feel like it's not time, but it is time because, you know, we had a Sixers run. It's kind of been a calendar-wise year. Like, there hasn't been a skip in activity. Like, it was the Eagles run, the Eagles Super Bowl. Then you had the Sixers run. Then you had the Brian Colangelo saga. It's just been one thing after another, and then the Phillies were good, and then the Phillies are in on Machado. So it's been a pretty exciting year overall, and now football's here. You know, it's all of a sudden almost August, which is crazy. I don't know where summer went, but yeah, it's time to get into camp, and you know, it's nice. We're entering the season. Because I play on the team. I'll be in camp next Wednesday.
You are a we.
Yes,
you're a we guy.
I'm a we guy.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Does that offend you?
I guess being brought up as a writer first a little bit.
Yeah.
that just hurts a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, I get why people think it's weird, but I have more ties to this team than any mercenary on the Eagles. So you know what I mean? I say we as we Philadelphians.
You can say we as Philadelphia fans.
Not as
a we as a team.
No, I'm just we're. Like, I'll say we're playing the Rams this weekend.
But you're not.
I know we're not.
So you're not a we.
But Philadelphia is playing Los Angeles.
The whole city's not.
Well, in a way we are.
You're representing the team.
No. We have more blood, sweat, and tears into this franchise than they do. All right?
So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. We're a couple days away from camp, and we're the best team in the NFL entering the season. And I don't think I've ever been able to say that confidently before, and it feels damn good.
You are right on that. They are entering as the best team in the league right now.
I mean, if you go by the Madden ratings, which is, you know, how everybody should go by, they're 6 points better than the next team. So, like, the Eagles are a 90, the Patriots are an 84, and then the rest of the league is, like, the difference between 84 and 78.
Madden's must have really scaled back. I remember back in like the early 2000s.
Were the Ravens like 99?
There was like four teams within 95 or 94.
Yeah, I guess maybe they have
finally become more realistic.
Yeah. The NFC's loaded. It is. It's going to be a tough year. I would say for the first time in a while that the NFC is straight up better than the AFC. Like top to bottom, I think there's a legit five or six Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. And you look at the AFC, I don't know, the Patriots obviously are always there. The Texans, if Deshaun Watson stays healthy and Watt stays healthy, could be a sneaky good team. Jacksonville and their defense is always there, but they have a Blake Bortles, situation.
Yeah. So if you compare them, if you go Eagles, Patriots, it close to a wash.
You give
the Eagles the advantage, yeah. Right? And then you look at it after that, it's Jacksonville and Minnesota.
Yeah.
I take the Vikings. The Rams and the Steelers, I guess?
Yeah, the Steelers are still there. They got some weird stuff going on with Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be, Le'Veon's trying to go to bat for all running backs, and it's admirable and all, but apparently the Steelers offered him less this year than they did last year. I think last year he got offered basically like 14.5 a year, and I think they countered this year with like 12 or 13 to him. So he's trying to set basically a new market for running backs, which is admirable. But now it looks like it's a strange situation out there in Pittsburgh. He obviously wanted to retire a Steeler. That might not be the case. But yeah, the NFC is loaded this year. It's going to be a tough year. And, next week, I guess we'll get another look at Carson Wentz and how he's doing. And, that's really the only pressing question of this team. Maybe Sidney Jones, you want to see how he does and how they shift around. Maybe if Jalen Mills is playing the slot where Patrick Robinson was, some questions there, D-line rotation, depth, what's up with Timmy Jernigan, but there's no bigger, issue than Carson Wentz's knee.
Now, do you buy into, before the draft started, the Eagles didn't have a second round pick, but Sidney Jones comes back, so he's effectively the second round pick.
He's effectively a first round pick. I was
first round talent.
Yeah, he was if not the top cornerback last year, he was second. So we'll see. It was great that they had that luxury of bringing him along slowly and getting his Achilles back to health. But yeah, I do kind of view him as a first round pick this year coming in. Dallas Goedert is, we'll see. If he's better than Trey Burton, then
it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
You've won.
Sidney Jones is an upgrade. I think, there's not a lot of pressing issues with this team, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Wentz, because I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit today. You don't want him week one going out there with no real game experience. Like, you got to knock that rust off. You got to get over the mental hurdles of getting over a knee injury, build up the confidence in the knee and everything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And then again, if you do give him the month of September off, you just bring him back in October and you're in the same situation. You know what I mean?
So if he doesn't play in the offseason or in the preseason at all.
Well, that's the thing.
How do you work him back in?
I don't know.
Is it like a snap by snap thing?
Yeah. Like you almost, if you want to start him in September, which I'm against, personally, I just think give him a month, give Nick Foles the month. Let's just make sure he's at the 10-month mark, right, and all is well. But yeah, where do you get him game experience?
Hope they're blowing out Tampa Bay and throw him in there?
I guess.
Hope they're blowing out the Colts?
But then you potentially,
risk injury.
Yeah, risk injury in a meaningless game. So if they are...
We are bubble wrapping this man right now.
He's the most important asset that franchise has.
Right, but when do you take the bubble wrap off?
I know. But do you play him in preseason?
I don't think you can.
You're a month and a half ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I don't think
what
you can.
Every doctor has said. So I don't know if you can risk him in preseason. And then, like we said, you got to get him up to game speed. And it's the biggest issue with this team. So it's going to be interesting to see. But outside of that, Doug's going to have him ready to go. I think they're a very focused locker room. I don't think they're going to be 2009 Phillies getting fat off the World Series. Cole came back a little pudgy in 2009 and took him a while to get going. I don't think we have to worry about with this team. But I just think Wentz is the biggest issue or the biggest question, not issue. But We'll see. I don't know what they're going to do. I honestly don't. I don't know if I can handle the anxiety of him playing in the preseason, but at the same time, he has to play in the preseason. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's going to end up being like watching Joel Embiid play. Every time he goes down, every time he's hit, every time he's sideswiped, we're going to hold our breath.
Get rid of it, Carson. Get rid of it, Carson. Get rid of it. You know, it's going to be like that. Go down, slide. And the other aspect is once he is proven to be healthy and gets over those hurdles is, does he change his game a little bit? And I'm not talking, you know, arm stuff. I'm talking sliding, getting out of bed.
I know he said he had. He's not going to.
Yeah, he's
but he's risking a lot of money, a large future.
Yeah.
Great NFL career.
I mean, Tom Brady's been at it for so long, and he's in that kind of Eli school where it's like, oh, you're going to hit me, I'm going to go down. And there's something to be said for that, protecting yourself.
And to play another play.
Yeah, I mean, you at least want to get to that major contract, which he's, you know, a year or two away from. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, he's potentially looking at like 100 and, well, I don't even know what the going rate is for a quarterback. It's got to be 150 million over a couple years. So, you know, the Eagles are the best team on paper. It's going to be fun camp. You know, I just can't wait to get down there to the NovaCare Center just to watch football again. It's nice that it's here. I'll have to pull up some odds on the NFC and what the Eagles are entering this year, because the Foles-Wentz situation is, you know, I give him the month. If he's playing the month of September, I still think this team is good enough to go 3-1.
Especially with the schedule that they have. And no Jameis Winston. You're going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 2, and I don't want to undervalue the Bucs defense because it is better than I think people give it credit for.
Oh, yeah. And they got two Eagles. They got Bo Allen and Vinny Curry now. And they added
pull from the pool of wealth.
Yeah. And then they added another defensive lineman, too, to go along with Gerald McCoy. Who was the other guy they added? Oh, Jason Pierre-Paul. They added old hand explosion. By the way, he posted on Instagram, I want to say maybe 3-4 weeks ago, a throwback Thursday picture of his hand after the explosion. And like I don't even think it had been treated by the hospital yet. It was not safe for life.
Like, I'm out.
I saw it and I wanted to, you know, like send him a text like, yo, dude, what the hell are you posting that for? I just ate. Now I want to vomit. So yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul's hand is disgusting.
A couple of fingers hanging off by a thread.
Yeah, you could see like a tendon. It was just like, dude, why are you posting that?
By the way, 17 NFL quarterbacks right now make at least $20 million per year. And that's the average, of course, but
wow. Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill makes 19 and a half.
So if that's your scale,
Sam Bradford's getting 20 this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. If Sam Bradford is worth 20 million, then Carson Wentz
100 million.
Is worth at least 45 million. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Do you get into golf majors at all as we're looking at the British Open here in the studio?
I'm such a fake golf fan.
Well,
I get up for the big ones.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not really.
I mean, that's the gateway way to get into golf is to, you know, care about the majors. And then, you know, it's like soccer. You get into the big ones, you learn the players a little bit. Once you learn the players, and
then you start going into the Premier League and La Liga and things like that. Sure.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, the majors are a good gateway into golf. So the British Open is underway, kicked off this morning, I want to say around 2 a.m. at least. There's a couple guys already on like the 11th, 12th hole.
The course looks terrible, by the way.
Well, it's the British Open.
It's England, always, you're right.
Yeah, it's always green greens and brown fairways and tee boxes. But yeah, so up ahead today, we have the Meat Locker. We have Baldy and Spags in, Bob and Anthony, of course. Baldy and Spags. Baldy and Vi, Anthony and Bob, of course. And then Coach Steve Spagnuolo will come in. I'm sure we'll dive into some of this NFC talk, you know, Eagles stuff, all of that, because we're finally approaching football season, and it feels nice. So thanks for hanging out with us. On the other side of this, we'll get to the morning show. He's Tyler Zuli. We are back together one more time tomorrow. And then Eitan will rejoin the show next week as he is doing middays this week with Rob Motti. But I'm Jamie Lynch. Thanks for hanging out with us during the Fanatic at 5. Up next is the Fanatic Morning Show with Anthony Gargano and Bob Cooney. Fanatic Sports Times 554.